so you better duck away, run and hide out. When I'm running real slow and the lights out, cause I'm about to fuck up the program, shooting out the window of a drop top pro ham. Well, I'm shooting, let's see who drop. The police, the media, suckers that went pop, and motherfuckers I say they too black. Put them overseas, they be begging to come back.
Real talk, real talk.
I'm from the land of the gangbang. Since I was little, ain't a goddamn thing changed. It's the same old same. Bush run shit like Saddam Hussein. I cock and aim, clinically insane. To deal with this bullshit day to day. If I sell some yay or smoke some hay, you bitches wanna throw me up in Pelican's Bay. Call me an animal up in the system. But who's the animal that built this prison? Who's the animal invented lower living? The projects, thank God for Russell Simmons. Thank God for Sugar Hill. I'm putting a different kind of steel up to my grill. Y'all know what it is, scared for your own kids. How these little niggas taking over showbiz.
Straight up fish, real talk.
All right, y'all, it's been a few months and we're back now. It's the Street Official Real Talk Podcast. And y'all know I always try my best to touch on the A-list. And I'm going to tell you, I've gone well beyond the A-list now. The folks that y'all have heard in the past, man, I'm going to tell you, I got one of my favorite rappers, and I'm gonna tell you, ideally, one of the people I look up to is Just How to Be a Man, and I'm gonna tell you, it's gonna be a definite pleasure. I got too many titles to describe him. I'm gonna let him introduce himself. Who's on here with me today?
Yo, what's up, man? Ice Cube, how you feeling?
Man, Cube, I'm gonna tell you again, man, I'm gonna probably keep saying this over and over, but it is a definite pleasure to have you know, on the show with us today, and we want to get into a few things, and you know, this is all gonna be tied around Black History Month and some other things, but you know, the first thing I want to do is I want to get into some of your projects. And the first one I'm going to ask you about, and I got a couple to go through, but I'm going to ask you about Gangsta Rap Made Me Do It. What is the concept on that?
Well, you know, Gangsta Rap Made Me Do It, when I was a little boy, my parents used to watch something called Flip Wilson, the Flip Wilson Show. And it was this character named Geraldine who used to say, "The devil made me do it for anything that she didn't want to cop to, or she just wanted to put an excuse on." So I just took that same concept and brought it into 2008, basically, because last year, you know, with the Don Imus situation, with the Virginia Tech shooting, with Michael Vick, the dog fighting, everybody blamed gangster rap almost for everything. So, you know, it was just a record that, you know, where I was fed up and was just basically showing how hypocritical that is to blame gangster rap for the problems of the world today.
Yes, sir. And I'm going to say this real quick, too, Q. You know, a lot of times the fans, whether I'm doing this show or I'm doing mixtapes or whatever else, they always hear me say something about no selling out. And I mean that shit. I saw them folks get on Oprah and take that L over Don Imus. I saw all the folks up there blaming hip-hop. And a lot of times I don't get folks that'll actually have that kind of conversation. But, you know, I'm from an era. I'm assuming we may be close to the same age. And, you know, there was a whole lot of shit going on before gangsta rap had ever even been mentioned, before rap had ever been mentioned.
That's real.
And they don't address those issues. And all of a sudden now they've got a scapegoat to actually come at us and say, y'all are making folks do things. Well, how do they talk about Bloods and Crips? Bloods and Crips wasn't invented over rap.
That's real. And you know, they just had a big movie come out about Frank Lucas, you know what I'm saying? American Gangster.
Right.
His time was way before the rap game, so what influenced him? You know what I'm saying? What was? So, you know, you can't blame the mirror if you look ugly. And that's what rap music is. Rap music is the mirror to our world from the eyes of the youth and from the eyes of the poetic. And, hey, you know, you can't be mad at what you see.
You know, I also want to get in the first Sunday before we get going in any other stuff. I want to know everything you're doing, because, man, you got more credits for shit you about to do than most folks got from what they've done. You know what I mean?
Hey, you know, you got to get it while the getting is good. And that, you know, that's kind of the motto I live by. And, you know, I can sleep when I'm dead. You know, I'm trying to hustle for, you know, not only my generation, but generations after me and generations after them. So, you know, I'm never going to sleep. Never.
So why don't you break down First Sunday for us, man? We've seen the previews, but now I want to hear you give your scoop on it.
First Sunday is a good movie. You know, a lot of people, you know, to see the trailer and see, you know, the laughs, and it's full of laughs, but it's also a good movie. It's like a great movie, you know, that speaks on the fact that you can't throw people away in your community. You just can't throw them away. Everybody's worth some. So, you know, it speaks on that message. But it's funny as hell. I got Tracy Morgan in there. I got Cat Williams. You know, with just with us three in there, you know what I mean? It's worth the price of administration. So man, you know, it's a dope movie. You got Shy McBride in there. You got Loretta Devine. You got who else in there? You got Michael Beach, Keith David, and you know it's a dope movie. It's definitely worth your admission, man. Worth your admission, definitely.
Man, and you know I gotta ask you, as being a huge fan of the Friday series, what is the next Friday? When is it coming? And I wanna know. I'm gonna ask you if you can divulge, but are we gonna get Day Day and get Chris Tucker and all the folks, you know, Debo and
Damon?
Yeah. You gonna bring all them together on last Friday?
I would hope so. If we was to do it, that's my dream. That's how I picture it. You know, I think everybody's down to do it. You know, I still haven't got a confirmation from Chris, and I don't know if I should do it without him. So, you know, that's kind of just on the holding path till we get ready to go, man. Because I don't know if we're gonna even get it done. You know, he won't tell me yay or nay. So, you know, I guess no news is good news. So.
I hear you.
Yeah,
I hear you. And I want to also compliment you on that, man. You've made a lot of careers.
Just, you know, recognizing talent. When I was coming up doing my thing, Dr. Dre recognized me as a talent. You know, he took me under his wing, and you know, the rest is history, so to speak. Even John Singleton, and just taking a chance on me and Boys in the Hood. So when you recognize talent, you know. I'm fearless. I'm not scared to give them a shot if I have an opportunity.
Right.
I ain't gonna just create no opportunities. But if it's you know, the perfect time, perfect place, perfect project, you know, and you're talented, man, I'm looking for you. I'm glad to have you. So, you know, I guess see some of these people before the public get a chance to really, really hone in on it.
Real talk.
Ain't no other things in this rap thing. They siblings, nothing but my children. One shot, they disappearing. Ain't no kings in this rap thing. They siblings, nothing but my children. One shot, they disappearing. Bitch niggas, still wanna check my urine. Still can't believe what you're seeing, what you're hearing. You motherfuckers, thought you knew the whole story. Until your mama took a nigga on Maury. Read the test results. The father, I looked at his bitch ass, told him don't bother. I'm the father of this gangster shit. Never thought that I have a bunch of bastard kids.
Real talk.
Well, you know, Cube, I'm gonna tell you, you know, and I mentioned this to you before, man. You're one of my favorite rappers, and it's too many. When I say too many, there's probably five folks that I consider to be my favorite rappers, but you're my favorite entertainer, and I'm gonna tell you why, man. Honestly, because you know, you really don't mind taking chances on waking folks up. And, you know, you've actually allowed us to watch you evolve from, you know, whatever age you might have been as, you know, coming in the NWA all the way up to just being, you know, like the father figure. And, you know, are we there yet? You know, are we done yet? You know what I mean? Where you kind of back away from what we might have known. But I'm going to say this, though, man, the hardest lyrics I've heard to date, and as much as it was the banger, you know, going back to America's Most. Track number one, I heard Payback's a motherfucking.
That's wild. Sick of getting treated like a goddamn stepchild. Fuck a punk because I ain't him. You got to deal with the 9LM. The day is coming that you all hate. Just think if niggas decide to retaliate.
As much as people talked about, and I'm going to get into some things now. Like I said, we're going to talk about some black history. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you actually presented America's Most Wanted, as much as folks was talking about, you know, gangster rap or whatever else, you gave a balance that allowed people to wake up. And as much shit that was going on in the streets, you know, we talking about, you know, crack heyday and all that other shit.
Yeah.
You gave folks something, man, that made them think back like, you know what, man, as much shit as I got going on, I could still love the man who looked like me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and I need to redirect my energy to the man who's bringing the CIA out here to bring this dope in, dropping these guns off on these trains, mm-hmm. you know, et cetera, et cetera. And I just want to get your opinion, man. When you went that route, what was your thoughts on what's going to happen next?
You know, what I was really thinking, man, was there's no way that the streets is paying attention to the political, you know, tone of the day. You know, how do you get the streets to pay attention to what they're doing in Washington, what they're doing all around them? You know what I mean? The enemy never sleeps. So, you know, my thing is, man, you know, pay attention. Check it out. It ain't all about the hood, but, you know, you got to give street knowledge. You know, real spit on bringing the streets to the politics of the day and bringing the politics of the day down to the streets and trying to have a perfect blend where it's acceptable to everybody that's into that.
Right.
You know, from the political heads to the, just, you know, the ones who like it gutter. You know, I wanted to appeal to both crowds. Put that shit in my blender. Blended it up.
Again, I don't think folks, you know, give some of the deserving black entertainers all that's due to them in terms of their recognition, you know. And what I mean by that, and again, not saying that your contribution is only to black people,
mm-hmm.
you know, but just, you know, again, looking back on, you know, that era, you know, in the times that you came in and actually, you know, reshaped the mind process of young black men along with Public Enemy. I mean, you guys, you know, and there's more names to add to that, but essentially as a movement, you guys were our Martin Luther King, Malcolm X for our generation, because we was lost. I mean, anybody wants to tell me anything different, you know, can I take that challenge on. But as young black men and women, you know, there was a whole generation of us that was absolutely lost until folks like you began to stand up and we began to kind of, you know, you have to self-educate because, you know, you go through school for, you know, 20 years. They won't tell you nothing but Columbus and Napoleon and George Washington and Benjamin Franklin.
That's real.
You know what I'm saying? So we had to, you know, we had to definitely look to you guys to, we didn't have to look to you, but you guys offered us something that made us begin to want to light a fire, you know, and begin to think about, what does it mean when somebody's calling somebody a sellout, you know? And there's a lot of definitions for that, but y'all really gave us something to build on. And I want to ask you something real quick. I want to ask you, you know, what does Black History Month mean to you?
Black History Month is just a 12th of what I think Black history is about. You know what I mean? It's just 1/12 of it.
Right.
You know, it's 12 months in the year. So Black History, I'm thinking about it 12 months a year, baby. You know, the country can celebrate it for a month. But as far as me, you know, what other history should I be interested in? You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just 1/12 of what I think Black history is, you know, a month. I like the tone of the country because everybody is remembering. So, you know, I never diss that, but it's always on my mind.
And Cube, you know, I want to ask you something, and this is, you know, again, I'm going to ask you some questions related, say, from the 80s up to, you know, year 2000s, you know what I mean, like current. And does it seem as though, you know, and again, I'm going to try to keep this as positive as I can. You know, I saw this this Boondocks comic strip one day. It was related to Black history. And they were showing a picture of, you know, like, say, from the 80s going forward, like it's supposed to be like year 2050. And the way it was written was almost as if there ain't going to be nothing to talk about from this generation. And I want to ask you, do you feel like the youth and, you know, like what's going on right now, do you feel like there's a disconnect of what has been achieved by black people? You know what I mean? Because I feel like, I'm going to give you my opinion. I think that young folks have now forgotten what these struggles were like. It seems like the racism and the classism and all that other stuff has been now disguised so well that it's hard for my kid to understand when I tell him he's being hunted. He won't get that at his age, you know, and he may not get that as a young man because it's not right in his face. And I'm just curious, you know.
Well, you know, you got to look at this, man. You know, they got a saying that say the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Yeah.
You know, why? You know, you got to look at it. Why? It's enough money to go around for everybody to eat well. And it's enough food, enough transportation, enough houses, enough of that for everybody to get down.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they? Because America is set up like a pyramid. You look at a pyramid, the base is bigger than the top, right?
Right.
We're the permanent base. See what I mean?
Right.
They got to make sure we're the permanent base of this pyramid so they can stay on top. So, you know, on the surface, it don't look like it's the system is against you. But when you look at the overall function of the system, and you know you're relegated at the base of that system, at the bottom, you know the system sweeps you into a hole. You know what I mean?
Right.
Till you fall into the base of the system. So it has something to stand on all the time.
Right.
So that's why we look and say, damn, this guy ain't racist, but I still can't get ahead in my company. My boss ain't racist, but I still can't get ahead in my company. Because it's a system that's in place that makes sure that there's more people at the bottom than there is at the top. And that's just the way it is. That's why he's being hunted. You know? You're hunted until you're rich. You know what I'm saying? When you get rich, you're no longer hunting in that way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But for the most part, they want to keep the poor poor and the rich rich and keep status quo. And that's why they don't want things to change like that.
What is it that you look at and you say, you know what, this was, as much as all that stuff was going on, these are some positive things that you remember about, you know, say 80s, 90s, and even now, whether it be in your career or things you saw people do?
I mean, you know, the invention of rap music.
Mm-hmm.
That right there is a milestone breakthrough. We created an industry out of nothing. Out of nothing. A whole industry that's running now. And people have eaten, lived, been successful on. What has hip-hop done for the whole world? It's liberated the youth. I'm mad I can do a song about it. Speak on it. I can say it. Our generation exposed the police department fully. Took the veil off. Now police are just as scrutinized as criminals when they get on tape.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Before rap music, nah, police said you did it. You know, think we did fuck the police in 1989. Think of how the police was looked at then. Think of how they looked at now.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't just because they say it is true. Where the tape? Where the evidence? What did you do wrong, Mr. Officer? You know what I'm saying? All these things have come to light. Look at the marriage between rap music and sports. The marriage between rap music and movies. You know, no rap music, no Spike Lee.
That's right.
Spike Lee kicked off our new generation of filmmakers. You know what I'm saying? So to say that we didn't do nothing, we are the most, we the ones who made an industry out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Who else, what other generation done did that?
Mm-hmm.
Where they at? We done made this thing work. You know what I'm saying? And made it, at, you know, one point the biggest music in the world.
Right.
So, you know, don't tell us we ain't did nothing. We got an industry. I'm eating off of what I did. I have to work for nobody. You know what I'm saying? So, our generation has contributed to the world. And for somebody to say we haven't, it's like, you know, the 60s generation hang their hat on the civil rights movement.
Right.
We can hang our hat on the rap movement.
Because
good, bad, or ugly, it's been better for black folks with rap than it has for us without it.
Real talk. Real talk. Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kinda odd. No barking from the dog, no small. And mama cooked the breakfast with no hog. I got my grub on, but didn't dig out. Finally got a call from a girl I wanna dig out. So hooked it up for later as I hit the dough. Thinking, will I live another 24? I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top. And if I hit the
a switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light, looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight.
Real talk, real talk.
It's the nigga you love to hate with a new song. So what really goes on? Nothing but a come up. But ain't that a bitch? They hate to see a young nigga rich, but I refuse to switch, even though, cause I can't move to the snowa. Cause soon as y'all get some dough, you wanna put a white bitch on your elbow. Moving out your neighborhood, but I walk through the ghetto, and the flavor's good. Little kids jumping on me, but you wanna be white and corny. Living way out, nigga, go home. Spray painted on your house.
Real talk.
Yo, what's up? This your boy Ice Cube, the West Coast Warlord, the Grand Wizard, and I'm doing it with Real Talk. You know, we talking real right here on Real Talk. It's going down iTunes. You know how we do. Yay, yay.